Glenn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brett DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave.
And welcome to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart here along with Dave Bourne, where we talk about things, all things local, this noon hour every weekday. We talk about things that affect your pocketbook, things that affect your quality of life here in Marion and Polk County, specifically Salem and Kaiser. And welcome. We got a great guest today. I mean, I could talk all day about things that I noticed overnight, the things that are happening in this new year, the things that are happening nationally even, but we try to avoid that. But I've got a gentleman in the studio today that is going to fill our hour with fascination. He's going to intrigue us. We get to introduce you all to our newest Marion County Commissioner as of next week, right? So we have Colum Willis, who won the election in November over our county clerk and is taking office and getting sworn in next week. Colum, welcome to the studio.
Hey, Brent. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you. I am fascinated with county as our counties and governance, and we've had a couple county commissioners on, one from Polk, one from Marion, and another one of your colleagues who will be in the commission, Kevin Cameron, will be in next week. There's just so many things about the county government, especially for our listeners. We've got a lot of listeners that are outside the boundaries of Salem and outside the boundaries of Kaiser. People tend to think more of their municipal government and kind of miss that they have three commissioners and what their role is and how they affect their lives and the things that they do that nobody else does. So, so welcome, and you get sworn in next week. Let's clarify that.
Yep, Monday, right? 9 a.m.
So you're not a public official yet.
That's right.
Okay. So right. What we want to do today, in addition to finding out what the heck you're going to do for the county and why you ran, is to get to know you. So I want to make sure that the listener knows who's representing him and why and what his passions are. So you live in the area, obviously.
Yep,
in Marion County, in Staten. And your family, man, you got kids. And
yep, I have four little girls.
Four little girls. Yeah. How much do they range, age ranges?
They're all little.
All little.
They're all little.
Oh, my gosh.
My wife's a busy
boy. Well, good for you. So five girls in the household and you.
That's right.
Awesome. All right.
That's right.
So, Colum, you are an attorney by trade, right?
Business attorney, yeah.
Business attorney. So kind of walk us through that in terms of when did you start your career, where did you go to school and all that?
So I grew up in Oregon. My parents met in Mount Angel, so that's sort of the place that I always loved growing up. We'd spend every summer there and every Christmas. But I went back east for school. I went to Boston College. And after school, I got one job offer. I was hired in the U.S. Senate in the Joint Economic Committee. I was hired in May of 2008, and the economy crashed fall. And so I was an analyst, and I was taking notes when Ben Bernanke was testifying to Congress. And it was a really interesting time to be there and formative for me. I was pretty uncomfortable with sort of how it got resolved. My grandparents were part owners of a Ford dealership. And so the idea that the government would use taxpayer dollars to bail out the largest corporations when they had basically run themselves into bankruptcy bothered me. It just on a gut level, it bothered me. So I ended up leaving and I found my way back to Oregon and went to law school and became a transactional attorney eventually. But it really kind of informed my understanding of politics, and it made me want to get involved and be an advocate for regular people, the kind of people that don't get bailouts when the economy goes down, you know, and be an advocate for small business owners and just sort of your ordinary working person.
So here's your degree. You're a screaming eagle, right? Is that what they call it?
Something like that.
Okay, so here's your degree, and now you're in Washington, D.C., and you're sitting behind the senators taking notes.
That's right.
And it's one of the most pivotal moments and periods in U.S. history.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, it was wild. It was absolutely wild. And I met some really good people, and I met some people that I didn't want to be reelected.
Indeed.
You know, you meet the good and the bad. Very, very formative. Yeah. You know,
I have some history in the arts.
Yeah.
The arts, the performing arts. And I think politics is in a way similar, where you're going to find people in politics and in performing arts who are some of the best and most intelligent human beings on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to find some of the craziest wackadoodle morons
Certainly that's true in politics.
That are in it for all the wrong reasons. And I've experienced both, and it's hard to separate one from the other, but it always does drive me crazy when people try to get their, I wouldn't say news, but their opinions formed from some celebrity who didn't graduate from high school, right? Just, okay. Anyway, moving on. So how long were you there in D.C.
Just
working for the
year.
Senate?
Just a year.
But what a year,
year.
Right?
What a year.
And the economy's collapsing, and the banking bailouts were happening, and a lot of those things were kind of made on the fly. Did you have an opportunity to experience how those decisions were made, or?
Yeah, you know, so we were the Joint Economic Committee does economic research primarily. So it wasn't a legislative committee, and so certainly our research informed some of the decisions that were made. But unfortunately, a lot of decisions were made in legislative committees, and there were lobbyists who made a lot of those calls for their clients. And that's part of the reason why I left. Not that something didn't need to be done, and sort of you can look at some of the programs and some of the stabilization that happened and say, well, you know, the Americans turned out a little bit better than Europe did, for instance, and recovered a little bit faster and that sort of thing. But there's just a lot of special interests that were being met with our tax dollars. And I just philosophically, it really bothered me that, you know, somebody working at the gas station or working, you know, at the fast food restaurant, their tax dollars were being used to bail out these investment banks. And then the folks that had run these investment banks into the ground were getting rich off the taxpayer dollars. Just on a philosophical level, it really bothered me that these guys were, you know, they're still getting their end of the year bonuses and all the rest of this stuff, right?
The Vegas, you know, parties.
And so I think that's part of the reason why I wanted to get into electoral politics and why I got interested in, well, hey, how do these people get elected and who makes these decisions, you know? And so I also came to the realization that I think it really matters that you care about the place that you're representing. And that's part of the reason I came home to Oregon is, you know, otherwise it just becomes a big ego trip, politics, right? But I think originally, historically, the people that first ran for office in America and helped draft the Constitution, that sort of thing, they did it because they loved the place where they were from. Mm-hmm. They loved Massachusetts. They loved Virginia. And they cared about the people who lived there. And so I just had this realization that I needed to go to a place that I cared about and that I cared about the roads and the potholes and the bridges and the garbage collection and the ordinary everyday things, you know? And what makes me care about those things here is this is my place and these are the people that I grew up with, you know? And so if my neighbors and my friends have bad roads to drive on or their garbage doesn't get collected, I know that impacts them and that bothers me. And so it's very fulfilling for me to get to represent my friends and neighbors in the state of Oregon and Marion County in particular.
So that's why you ran for the commissioner?
It's a long story, but yeah, it's a process. You know, I mean, I've been involved at various times, but yeah, I would say the reason why I wanted to be a Marion County commissioner in particular is because I really, I think it's really important work to be able to represent people in the political realm. And in particular, representing people in local government is super fulfilling because you're actually helping them with the nuts and bolts of their daily life. So if I screw up, it actually affects you personally. And if I get it right, you know, your life is better, you know, as a result. So
I have some good stories of people who have represented us locally in terms of being accountable. And living in Salem, we get a little spoiled where, you know, you can call your legislator and, hey, what'd you make that vote for? I was like, this hurt me. I'm a small business person, blah, blah, blah. And then you get an answer.
Yeah, I think that's great.
And city council as well and county commissioner as well. And we see you at the mall and we see, you know, just shopping and whatever. And yet you have an important task and affects a lot of things having to do with our daily lives, like you said, the road and the garbage and the recycling and all of these things.
Yeah.
And public safety,
and
one
the jail.
Of my favorites.
Yeah,
oh
public
my
safety, yeah. And I feel that find that people here are pretty, like, very well-educated voters. I remember being on a call with a non-affiliated voter during the campaign, and I was like, hey, you know, would you be willing to vote for me? And he sort of goes, yeah, I know who you are. I've read all about you. And I think I'm going to vote for you.
Well,
and it was clear that he would have been just as comfortable telling me, no, I'm not going to vote for you. but people really take their job seriously, I think, because they get to know the folks representing them.
Well, but before you did this, you took a stab at running for U.S. representative.
Yep. Yeah.
Maybe we'll save that for after the break, because you can tell the whole story here, because that's a big step.
Yeah.
That could have been, that was enormous. And imagine it formulated for you a lot in terms of how to campaign and how to get votes and things like that, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we're talking to Colin Willis. He is about to become your newest Marion County Commissioner. He is taking the place of Janet, who has retired. So it's an open seat, right?
That's it.
That's the seat you're taking.
That's right.
So we'll be back in a minute. We'll get to how Colin got to this point. Here after the break. This is 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Lynn Fenton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart along with Dave Bourne, and we've got Colin Willis here, newly elected to Marion County Commission. And he is not new to KYKN. Actually, he was on one of our previous shows with Gator and Denise a few times, I think. And welcome back.
Thanks.
Great, you know, it's great to have you. I was not fond of your opponent in the general election, so I was happy to see you win. So
I appreciate
you're my
support.
Hero in that regard. So thank you. and we were talking just before the break that you did run for U.S. representative, right?
Yep.
And so, was that how long after you came back from Washington, D.C., did you decide, well, I want to represent the people of this area?
Oh, it was a long time. I think first I decided I wanted to come back home. Mm-hmm. You know, I had been working back in D.C. for a few years after college, and I just realized, like I said, where you work matters if you're in politics. And I remember talking to a gal back east about a highway, and I realized I didn't care at all about her highway. But if it had been 22 or I-5, I would have been just as mad as she was that it wasn't being taken care of. And I had this realization, I have to go work in a place where I have that sort of passion for the people in the place. And so it took me home. But it wasn't that I was going to come home and run for office. That wasn't really the plan. I worked on a political action committee for about 5 years. I had been sort of a campaign worker, I guess you would say, and a policy staffer. So making the jump from that to candidate is actually a pretty big jump.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of candidates are small business owners, or they don't necessarily do the political nuts and bolts first. And so I'm not sure that I came home thinking I was going to run for office. In fact, I know that was not a thought in my mind. But in 2016, I felt very strongly that people, the folks representing us in Washington, not necessarily anyone in particular, but generally had sort of lost touch with their first job, which is to represent the people that mm-hmm. they serve. You know, and I think this was something that a lot of people felt, that the folks back there may have been representing different companies, different foreign governments, you know, whatever, but their first job is to represent the voters who send them there. And I especially felt that folks in Marion County were sort of being left behind, and I wanted to be a voice for them, and that really motivated me to run.
So that was that's the position currently represented by Congressman Schrader.
That's right.
Okay. So I know exactly what you mean, actually. I feel like I'm a bit of a, I hate to say it because I like to think of myself as a little knowledgeable, a little, what's the right word, Dave? Whatever the opposite of naive is, right?
Knowledgeable.
But still idealistic. I would like to think we could find 435 people that we could send to Washington out of 350 million that would just vote their conscience.
Sure.
I mean, it just sounds so simple.
It does.
It's just impossible. So I think we send a lot of people to D.C. that are good people with well-intentioned, and we bring them, and they come back 2 years later corrupted.
Sometimes people change.
Not corrupted in the sense that they're bad people anymore, but corrupted in that they've now been taught that this is the system and this is the way, and you're never going to have power unless you play the game, right? When you want to send them to have them not play the game, you know, I think in a certain way, all of America sent Donald Trump to not play the game, but...
And what was one of the things that I saw in D.C. is I met a couple of people who were not corrupt, who really were mm-hmm. people of principle, who were in Washington, D.C., trying to make a difference. And they were the minority. But what I saw was that just having somebody of principle speaking up makes a difference, even if it's just one person. And so I would say, like you, I sort of know how politics works, right? I know, you know, what sort of special interests do and to try to influence the process and that sort of thing. But that doesn't make me think that you either have to, like, join them or give up. I think you can just be a person of principle in the process, and just by your example, even if you lose some battles along the way, you're having a positive influence on our country and on our community.
Yeah, and I think the whole concept of you need to be loyal first to your party is very disturbing in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, no, you have to be loyal to the people, the voters of your, in my case, Marion County. I mean, I think I said this before the show, I'm an unrepentant advocate for the middle class and for working people.
Oh, we're going to put that on your nameplate on the desk.
Yeah, absolutely.
Unrepentant advocate for the middle class. Okay, so the seat is previously occupied by Janet Carlson, just retired. What a great servant she was for a long time.
Phenomenal.
Speaking of great servants, we talked during the break. You ran in the primary against Brad Nanke.
And he's a great guy. My goodness, he's served for 17 years, the city of Salem.
He has.
He's really done a great job.
And I personally hope he's our next mayor, but I don't know if he has the patience to do it, actually. Give me a text, Brad, if you're listening and you're going to be running for mayor when Chuck's done anyway. So here you are, and new to the county. You were elected as a Republican, although most counties in Oregon are nonpartisan seats.
Yep.
And there's not really a caucus like the legislature has. You don't have to meet with Republicans to gather and see what the strategy is against the blah, blah, blah. Now you just get down to work for the people.
Yeah, right? That's right.
All right. So public safety is one of my passions in terms of what the county does. Obviously, the jail and the sheriff's office, and it gets a huge portion of the funds.
Yeah, right? About 70% of the general funds.
Why county commissioner?
Why am I a county commissioner?
Why'd you choose that? I mean, you did the campaign, Schrader's seat, and then you said, well, where else can I serve, apparently?
Well, I tell you what, running these campaigns is quite a lift, you know? So after the congressional race, I was actually kind of done. I was like, I'm going to go make a living and raise my family. And at the time, I had three little girls at home, so it wasn't like I didn't have anything to do. but I've been working as a business attorney for a year and a half or so. And Janet Carlson announced that she was retiring, and it was going to be an open seat. And a lot of the folks that had first of all, I had just enormous support for my run for Congress in 2016 here in Marion County, and I'm incredibly grateful to so many of those people. And unfortunately, that race didn't turn out the way we wanted to, but immediately afterwards, they all said, okay, great. You did the first one, and you kind of built your network, and you know what to do now, so when's the next one going to come? And so when that seat opened up, there were a lot of people asking me if I would be interested in serving the county in that capacity. And so I started thinking about it, and I came to the conclusion that it would be something that I could really pour myself into and would be excited about doing.
So I know the commissioners, sometimes they divide their duties. Sometimes they rotate their duties, at least in Marion County, and sometimes they divide their duties in terms of interest or experience, expertise and what have you. So obviously Sam Brentano with a history, business history in solid waste, and he takes the majority of the work there. And so how do you see yourself fitting into the other two existing commissioners?
Well, the good news and the bad news about Marion County is that there's only three of us. So the good news is you're involved in just about every decision because two of you can make a decision. Now, luckily, most of the time, everybody's in agreement. So usually we'll work by consensus. But what it means is you have a lot of workload right off the bat. So I've been going to a number of work sessions throughout the month of December and meeting with various department heads, and it's just going to be a load, going to be real work, and it's a full-time job, and I'm excited about it. One of the things that in particular that I'm interested in trying to address is there's a lot of people who are dealing with trying to find good housing in Marion County. You know, basically my view is every person in Marion County should have the opportunity to have a good education, a good home, a good job, and a secure retirement. And increasingly, that can be pretty tricky. The median household income in Marion County is about $53,000 a year, and housing prices have gone up and up and up. And so it can really be hard for people to find a safe place to live and raise mm-hmm. their family. And in particular, I'm really interested in protecting home ownership for people in Marion County. I just see home ownership as a fundamental thing that built the middle class in this country. And I'm concerned that that's getting harder and harder for people, especially people that are my age or even a little bit younger who have a lot of college debt. You know, they're getting married and they can't afford to buy a house. It really concerns me. So it's something that I'm going to focus on.
All right. I'm going to ask you to say that again before the break. You said, do you think everybody in Marion County should have an opportunity to
have a good education, a good home, a good job, and a secure retirement?
Okay. And then we shouldn't mix that up with everybody actually does get it.
That's right. That's right. We can't guarantee that. That's right. It's an opportunity.
It's like we don't gift that to everyone, folks. But you have an opportunity, an equal opportunity to do so.
That's right.
And if you have that opportunity, wow, what an incredible blessing it is to live in the place that you live.
Absolutely.
Right? Amen. Hey, this is Newsmakers with Brent DeHart, Dave Bourne. We're hosting soon-to-be Marion County Commission Colm Willis. Stick with us. We'll be right back on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Now, back to Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome back. This is Brent DeHart for Newsmakers along with Dave Bourne. And in our studio today, our guest is Colm Willis. So that name, C-O-L-M. That's how it's spelled,
yeah.
But it's pronounced like a pillar, Colm.
That's right.
That's a good Celtic name.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm a big, McNary fan.
Yeah? Are you? Yeah. Good.
I have to be.
All right. So we were talking a little bit about your campaigns, and, you know, you ran against Kurt Schrader, who is the incumbent Democrat for our area, for U.S. representative. And then you learned a lot, presumably learned how to fundraise.
That's right. Yeah, that's a big part of it.
And built a network and so forth. And after that campaign, people started asking you, well, where are we going to plug you? Where are we going to plug you in? We're going to put you to use for the citizens. And here you are in Marion County Commissioner. So I want to talk a little bit about that campaign, because there was a primary, of course, and after you won the primary, you're running against a county clerk. And I've heard people on both sides of the political spectrum, you know, have issues with a county clerk running for this seat when his name is on every piece of campaign literature that goes out. And what a kind of a conflict and an advantage that is to have his name on the envelope of your ballot, on the forms, on the letters. His name is everywhere.
Yeah.
As far as awareness and name recognition, which a lot of politics is name recognition.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think our initial poll had him at like 80% name ID in the county. And I think I was like 20. So he was had a much bigger name than I did initially. I think the concerns that I've heard are that he ended up counting the ballots for Marion County, even though he was a candidate on the ballot. And a number of people have felt like he should have recused himself from that.
Yeah.
A number of people, like probably 99.5%. Yeah. Everybody but him?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. But wow. But yeah, the race, it was a really close race. You know, I was behind in all the polls during the election. And on election night, I think I was ahead by 1.5% of the vote out of 130,000 ballots cast. So it was quite a race.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that name recognition, let's play on that a little bit, because here's a gentleman that personally, obviously I'm only one opinion and the voters have their own, but I don't think he's doing a sterling job in the job he's in. Much less should we get a promotion to county commissioner.
Well, evidently the voters may have agreed with you, you know. It's when you're in public office for a while, you get a high name ID. Mm-hmm. And I think he's been in office for a long time. You know, he was in the Salem City Council and he's been a clerk for over a decade anyway. So, he's been around a long time.
We drew a comparison actually to Brad Avakian, who was our labor commissioner who ran for Secretary of State, and which led to Dennis Richardson getting elected as a Republican and the first Republican to statewide office forever. And just that people in his own party just didn't find him palatable.
You know,
that kind of thing. So you have somebody in, you know, we live in a pretty purple county in terms
Absolutely.
Of Marion County. I've said a lot of Republican voters, a lot of Democratic voters, a lot of people who are independent voting on the left or right, depending on who they see standing up. But, you know, Marion County, Kate Brown did not win in Marion County in the governor's race. And you know, so it's we have a decidedly left-leaning city council, but we have three Republican county commissioners. So it is kind of a nice blend in terms of representation overall. Although I'd like to see a little different concentration in the Salem City Council myself.
Yeah.
All right. So, but the campaign obviously was fierce. You had to work very hard and raise a lot of money. So how do you raise a lot of money to get people to support you for a county commission?
You just ask a lot of people. You know, one of the things that I'm so grateful for is just the support that so many ordinary people in Marion County gave me, financial support. I had a number of people who I know, you know, don't make a lot of money, make less than that median household income of $50,000 a year, who would send me $25 every month, you know, yeah. or $10 every month. And I think really, you know, at the end of the day, it really is about people who are patriots, you know, and patriotism is just loving your place and your people, not because it's the biggest or the best or the richest or the most powerful, but just because it's yours.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a certain recognition that God could have made you anywhere, or surrounded by any number of people, but He didn't. He made us here with all of us, you know? And so we have a certain opportunity to give back to the place where we're from. And I just think that there's a real sense of patriotism here in Marion County. There's a real sense that people have that this is our place and we're going to stand up for it. And we care about who represents us, and they put their money where their mouth is. And like I said, I think I had over 1,000 donors.
Wow.
I mean, so it's really something, you know?
One of the things that's gone wrong with electoral politics and how we've gotten so divisive and so polarized is overall, nationwide, it's the people who are on the fringes that write the big checks. And I think in the national scene, we have the Democrats and Republicans in this two-party system, and they are catering to the people that write the big checks. And a lot of times, they're in the last 10% of the political spectrum as far as their position on some issues. But we're electing people, and I'm like, well, you can't reach across. It's hard to reach across when you reach across 90% of the electorate, right, or the citizenry. So it's nice to hear that you had a lot of small donors, and that people are knowing that $10. Even that name on that petition or on your website, whatever it takes, that little bits of support in a more local, municipal, regional election is really critically important.
And it's a testament to this community. Not every community has this sense of togetherness that we have in Marion County. You know, I've lived in a lot of different places, and there is something special about Marion County and the people who live here, and the sense of pride and sort of ownership they take of their place, you know, and I think that's a testament to it. The other thing is, you know, I'm a big supporter of the political tax credit that we have here in Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
I think in general people should be allowed to spend their money supporting the candidates that they choose, and some people on the far left want to, you know, stop campaign contributions or some sort of thing like that. But I think, you know, legislation like the political tax credit, where you basically get a dollar for dollar credit up to $100, I guess $50 per person, $100
right.
per couple, to give to a candidate, really empowers ordinary working middle class people to give.
Amen. So yeah, if the listener's not familiar, you can write a check to a candidate for $50 or a political action committee.
That's right.
Or to a party. Is it also certainly
a political action committee? Yeah.
Yeah, and then you get it back on your state tax return.
Yeah.
So you write $50, you get $50 back. It costs you nothing really out of pocket, except having maybe to wait till April when you get your tax
right.
return back.
That's right.
But that is that does empower the smaller voter, and
it really
actually
does.
It should be something that people on the left support
supportive
of.
I think they do.
Because
yeah.
they're like, well, let's get the big yeah. money out of politics. Well, this is a way to get the small money into politics.
Yeah, and that's I think really important.
So that is terrific. So all right, Before we get too deep in the show, let's talk a little about Marion County and what it does. And you said you've been going to committee meetings. Are there anything that's igniting you and saying, oh, I definitely want to dive into that. I'd like to get knee deep into this. For me, it would have been the jail. For me, it would have been, you know, funding the pods of the jail that are necessary so we're not doing early release. But there's roads and bridges. There's the Salem River crossing is an issue, of course. You know, there's solid waste. There's the public safety, as we mentioned. It's public works. What kinds of things are like, oh, yeah, I hope I can contribute here?
Yeah, well, we have a lot of issues. So I think what pops into my mind are the things that we're dealing with right now. You know, one of the things that I talked about a lot in the campaign and we're still dealing with is the federal government's plan with regards to Detroit Lake.
Right.
They put out a plan saying that they were, last year, saying they were going to drain the lake for a couple of years to build a water mixing tower in the lake, which would be devastating to the entire canyon. Turns out Salem gets their water from there. State, where I live, gets our water from there. And so I advocated publicly against the plan. The commissioners, they actually sued to intervene in the lawsuit. That's driving this. And so I'm hopeful that we'll get some sort of resolution. That's something that I'm absolutely going to be working on.
Can we amend that battle?
Well, you know, I think we might be able to convince them that we need to mitigate the harm to the community. So I don't know that we're going to stop any project in Detroit Lake. But we might be able to convince them to not go forward with the project they said they were going to go forward with. Mm-hmm. Maybe change the project. Maybe do things differently. So that's something that I'm going to be working on, and I'm going to continue to work on. I know the commissions, the current commissioners Sam and Kevin are absolutely committed to working on that. That's just one of those issues that is going to have such a major impact on the people of Marion County that we have to do everything we can to try to alleviate any harm that would cause.
You said you noticed a lot of things that are done with all commissioners in consensus to get things done. Mm-hmm. Are there subjects that you've noticed that you might be at odds on what Commissioner Cameron or Commissioner Bertano want to do?
Nothing comes to mind. You know, I think what we're, more than anything, what will happen and what does happen, like you said, is people just sort of get interested in working on different issues. A lot of these issues are very complicated. So one of the issues that I'm going to be working on is addressing the homeless crisis that we have here in Marion County. It's a big problem. We have a growing population of homeless people here in Marion County, and it's a hard problem to solve, both to get people the resources they need, to make sure that criminals aren't preying on that population, that criminals aren't hiding in the homeless population and harming people downtown. It's a big thing to wrap your arms around. So that's not to say that the other commissioners don't care about that issue. I know they do. But I think after our first couple of meetings, that's something that's going to be my job to go think about and work on and work with other folks in different cities and try to see what we can do.
That is huge, and it's going to require cooperation of a lot of different government agencies.
Absolutely.
And government jurisdictions. I was on the Marion, this is a mouthful, the Marion County Public Safety Coordinating Council.
Yeah, sure.
For a few years, I was a representative of the business community back when Patty Milne was the chair. And, you know, in the room, you have, you know, the sheriff and the youth correctional people, and you have the district attorney, and you have a huge spectrum of people that all need to collaborate, which is one of the reasons why this that coordinating council is put into statute by the legislature, actually. And then when you're talking about the homeless, it's not just Marion County, but you got to work with the city of Salem, and
absolutely,
you have to work with the state and their services, and you got to work with some nonprofits, presumably. And one of the, I embarrassed to mention, you know, County Health Department, of
absolutely,
course,
yep,
and Family Services and Health and Family Services and that kind of thing. So that's a big task. You got a big job. You got a lot to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited to get started.
That is good. You got four girls to come home to after long hours serving the public as county commissioner. We're going to take a last break here and come back and tell the listener everything you have not yet told us.
Sounds
talking
great.
Talking to Colin Willis, soon to be Marion County Commissioner, with us at KYKN 1430. Salem is listening.
Lynn Fenton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
If you missed any of today's episode, by the way, you can catch that on our website at 1430kykn.com. All the podcasts for Newsmakers available right there.
All of them?
All of them.
Every guest?
Every single guest.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
So podcast, kykn.com. Look for Newsmakers. Thank you, Dave. This is Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. We're here every weekday from noon to one, talking about local issues, local institutions, local ideas, and local individuals. And the individual with us today is Colin Willis. And gosh, I'm going to start talking real fast again because I want to get everything in.
Great.
So we've determined that you live in Staten and you're a family man. You got to... almost a handful of girls at
almost.
The household, and you went back east for college, and you worked in the Senate, the U.S. Senate, during 2008-2009, which is just crazy. We could probably spend an hour doing just those stories. And went to law school, and you're a business attorney, and now you're going to be our Marion County Commissioner in just a few days.
Monday.
On Monday, be sworn in. Okay, so a couple of things. You made a point, and I want to make sure we emphasize this, because it was brought up to me in different circles, and I have the same question. Your campaign for Marion County, at least generally, you spent a fortune. Spent a lot of money, and a lot more you outspent by your opponent, like by 20-fold.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's right.
But, you know, we're making the point that you didn't have the name recognition that the county clerk is afforded when his name is all over the ballot and all over the mailings and all over the pamphlet. The name recognition for him has to be extraordinary, right?
Yeah, especially after over a decade. Yeah, it's the taxpayers sort of pay for his mailings over the years.
Yeah, so indeed. So that, you know, that is a good retort, I think, for people who are critical that there was too much money in the campaign, that you needed to spend. It takes money to raise public awareness.
I would have lost. If I wasn't able to raise the money that I needed to raise, I would have lost. If I had raised even half as much, I would have lost.
So like a 3% differential in the end, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, okay. I think that's important.
Yeah. But now that you've been elected, how do you raise that name recognition for yourself?
Well, the campaign really raised my name ID quite a bit because I had to introduce myself to the voters in order to win. So part of winning is... you're really talking to individual voters, and you're saying, this is who I am, this is what I believe in, and if you vote for me, this is the kind of representative I'll be for you, you know? And unfortunately, that's expensive, because I think 130,000 ballots were cast in Marion County. So, you know, just the postage alone on 130,000 ballots is what, $65,000, 50 cents a letter, and that's to mail people once, right? And you know, a lot of people, they get one letter, you know, that they don't remember it, they throw it out, half the people don't get it. So it's hard to talk to 130,000 people in the space of a year, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, we knocked on doors, we did phone calls, but even talking to 10,000 people at their doorstep or on the phone, you know, it's not really enough if you're talking to 130,000 people. So you have to mail, you have to be on TV, you have to do those things, and you have to tell people who you are, what you believe, and what you're going to do. Going forward, because we did that work, now a lot of people in Marion County know who I am, they know what I believe, and they know what I'm going to do, and they're going to hold me accountable to that. So long as I stay true to what I promised to do during the campaign, I don't think it should be a problem.
So now you're going to be a lot on TV then? And more radio.
I was going to say, he listed a lot of things you got to do to win the campaign. I didn't hear the word radio.
I'm yeah,
gonna have
I
to
didn't hear
grief
that either.
That.
And radio.
I did see your commercials, and I believe in the mass media broadcasting. It's, you know, one, you can get your face out there, and you can see people animated,
sure,
and hear their voice and things like that. And it's one thing about radio. It's like, I hope the listener can tell that Colm is a very... he's an easygoing gentleman, comfortable in his skin. You know, he just seems like somebody you'd be easy to talk to. So it'd be nice to have you serving the public. Anyway, thank you for answering that, because yeah, I don't want people to get the wrong impression about what it takes to get elected and that it was only dollars. I mean, I think it was dollars to raise the name recognition, and after that, the voters had to decide who's going to do the better job.
Well, and something that I would say is it does matter. I think voters are right to be concerned about, you know, not having a broadly funded campaign. But we had a very broadly funded campaign. I mean, there, like I said, there's nearly 1,000 people who donated to the campaign. So to a certain extent, I would be worried if there was like one person who supported the campaign, or right. you know. But when you have the community really come together and a lot of people writing little checks just because they believe in what you're doing, I think that's important.
So, your dad didn't write a big check for you then?
My parents did support me, but it certainly wasn't even close to the majority of the money. You know, it would be well less than 5% of the money I raised.
So you have a couple of good mentors in Kevin Cameron and Sam Brentano. And I hope that you have a long future in public service and that you learn from them. Kevin in particular, I know. It seems like every time I see him, he's in one corner of the county or the other.
He's a hard worker.
And for a person like yourself that has roots in Mount Angel and in Staten, you know, having somebody who is in, you know, in every corner. Because, you know, if you're not paying attention to the county boundaries, this goes all the way up the canyon, right?
Absolutely.
Folks, and it goes all the way north to Aurora and, of course, the Willamette River. It's a huge territory and a lot of different types of economies and communities to serve, right? And you just can't really be Salem-centric all the time.
Right.
Right.
So that's right.
Good for you. That's a good opportunity. All right. Let's talk about our favorite subject a little bit before we run out of time, is the Salem River Crossing, the infamous third bridge that is being held up by the Salem City Council.
Yeah, super important. We have to get that thing built. I mean, we just have to. And there's no other option, you know. There's been some people that have said, oh, well, you know, we support some sort of crossing, not this crossing. Well, there is no other crossing. This is it, right? And I lived in West Salem. And I remember when we moved to Staten, it took me the same amount of time to drive from Staten to Kaiser as it did for me to drive from West Salem to Kaiser. And that's a shame. Mm-hmm. That's a shame. And there have been a number of very good public servants in this community who have worked really, really hard to plan this bridge. Over a decade spent working on this. And to have just a small group of far-left activists kill this, possibly for the whole next generation of people living in Salem, I think is... it would just be a tragedy. So,
is there anything the county can do as far as exerting influence at the Salem City Council? I know they don't listen to the county, but what they are regional partners. And that's the part that really gets me, is that all the regional partners, all the work they did for over decades being flushed down.
It's horrendous. I mean, it's horrendous. And you think about what you're stealing people's time, right? I mean, people who love this community, who worked so hard for this community, who did such a good job, and we're so close to getting a solution to the traffic in this community. And if we don't get it right, what you're doing is you're forcing average people to sit in their cars. You're taking time away from their families, from their friends, from their jobs. And that's time that people will never get back.
And I just think in terms of transportation infrastructure, in terms of goods and services, and frankly, do we want 18-wheelers going through downtown Salem? Or do we want them to have a route to get to the coast that doesn't involve going through downtown Salem? And the last piece, of course, is, you know, emergency preparedness. And what are we going to do? There's just nothing else. We need that. Colin Willis, thank you for being here. We'll be watching you.
Thank you,
Marion
Brent.
County Commissioner. We'll have you back, and we'll hold you accountable, because that's the kind of people we are.
That sounds
great.
Thanks
for listening to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. We'll see you tomorrow, 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave. Presented by Les Schwab Tires on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.